Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, nobody would ever lie on the internet. It's to follow a credo. It's to have a religious faith, to be a believer. When you hear his sermons, you will be able to believe too. For example, or to judge, or to regard, look upon. I think he is very smart. I believe her to be very smart. And so on. It's to be confident about something. I believe that he will come back. It's to accept or regard something as true. It's to accept the truth of what is said by someone. It's to have a specific or specified opinion. For example, we have a firm religious faith. We accept something as true or genuine. We have firm convictions and so on. And there's a number of definitions in the dictionary about the word believe. It's to hold an opinion. For example, I believe it will rain soon. And I know some folks, they don't care what the weather report has to say. It's how my bones feel. And I can tell two or three days ahead of time, I don't care what that weatherman says, it's going to rain. I don't care if he says it's going to shine. It's going to rain. And I'll have to admit that most of the time you folks are true. It's true. Your bones tell you better than the weatherman does. So the question is today, what do we believe? What do you believe? Well, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. So what do I believe? Well, first of all, I believe that the Bible is God's word to man. It is God's written word to man. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. Now, I know in the King James Version, it says all scripture is inspired of God. And it's valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, correcting faults, and training in right living. But inspired, God-breathed. I think you can't get any better than God-breathed. God-breathed. It goes on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, that when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is indeed the word of God, which also worketh in you that believe. That means that when I take up the Bible, I believe what it says in those pages. I don't care what somebody else says or somebody else cries to come along and try to prove differently to me. If God said it, I believe that's what it is. Now, I know a lot of people try to discredit the Bible today, and there's programs on television all the time now that try to discredit the Word of God. Well, the Bible says this, but we did this examination, and this couldn't possibly have happened this way. But every time you go along, and a little bit later, that theory gets debunked, and they find out, well, that one was totally wrong. And so everything that has contradicted the Word of God down through history has been proven to be wrong. God's word has stood for thousands of years as to be the word of Almighty God. And if we put our faith and our trust in it, we cannot go wrong. It's God's word to man. Another thing that I didn't have in my notes that I'm going to interject here at this point, because I want to make sure that everybody understands this, I also believe that sin is sin. Now, there's a lot of people out there today that don't want to hear that word sin, and some churches that sin doesn't get preached about because we might offend somebody if we tell them they're a sinner. But the Bible very plainly tells us that we were all sinners. Every last one of us was a sinner. And we only ceased to be a sinner when we came and we accepted what Jesus did on the cross and His blood washed away our sins. But until that time, we were a sinner. Now, I know, as I said, there are some things that have been taught in church with sin that really wasn't sin. It was man's opinion and man's rules. But when the Bible says it, and it's in those printed pages of God's Word, says it's a sin, I don't care who you are, it is a sin. And you can try to explain it away all you want to. You can try to whitewash it. You can try to do anything you want to about it. But if God's Word said it, then it's a sin. I believe that Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and a number of other scriptures in the Bible that are similar to this in the Gospels, it says, and lo, a voice came down from the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This happened as John is baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan when this event took place. And God spoke from the heavens and said, this is my Son. My Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, we're taught when you go to Bible college in particular that if God says it more than one time in the Scripture, He's trying to make a point there. So let's find out here. Not only did it happen here, but we find out in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, where it reads this, while he yet spake, and this is talking about Jesus, they're up on the mountain with a couple of the apostles, and there appears Moses and Elijah, and it says, and while he yet spake, Behold, a bright cloud shadowed them, and behold, there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God confirmed on multiple occasions that Jesus the Christ was his Son. Yet there are people today and there are religions today that try to discount that. Oh no, Jesus is just a good man. He was a prophet and he was okay back for what he did. But his day has come and gone, and now we've got another prophet that's more important, and we disregard him. We think he was an okay guy, but he was not the Son of God. Islam believes that. They believe that Jesus was okay. They believe he was a prophet. But they'll also tell you he's not the Son of God, because they'll tell you that God has no son. But yet in the Word of God, it very plainly states on multiple occasions that Jesus Christ was God's Son. And it didn't come from some bystander. It came from heaven itself, where he said, "This is my Son." And if you're listening to a God that doesn't tell you that Jesus is his Son, you're listening to the wrong God. Simple as that. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. 1 John 5:20 says, "But we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us a mind to know him, which is true. And we are in him that is true." That is, that his Son, Jesus Christ, the same is that very God and that eternal life. He is the Son of God. John 3:16, a familiar verse of Scripture, probably the most familiar verse of Scripture throughout the world, which simply says, "For God so loved the world that he's given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." It says God gave his Son. There's another time where God says, "This is my Son." The book of 1 John speaks extensively of Jesus being the Son of God. So I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he is the Messiah. I believe he is the promised one. I believe he is the anointed one. I believe he is the one that the Jewish people were looking for hundreds of years, and he came and they ignored him as a whole. They're still looking for him to come, the majority of them. But we have seen him come, and he will come again. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I believe he is God's Son, the promised deliverer, the one that delivers us not necessarily in this particular time from the kingdoms of the world, but from the kingdom of sin. I believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Now, there's a lot of people teaching today that there's multiple ways. Some very famous people are teaching that. People that have no real, for lack of a better word, religious background as far as training, but because of their popularity, they have decided that there is more than one way to heaven, and they tell that, and the world flocks to their feet because there's more than one way. We don't have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We don't have to believe that he died on the cross. We are all going to heaven. Very popular doctrine that's going around right now. We're all going to heaven. Well, God wants us to all go to heaven. I want you to think about that. God wants you to go to heaven. We are the ones that keep ourselves out. We are the ones that prevent ourselves from going to heaven simply by not accepting what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. He made the way, he paid the price, and if we don't go, it's because we refuse to accept the ticket that he bought for us. He's the only way. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "And Jesus said unto him, I am the way and that truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Words of Jesus himself. In John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture. Only through Jesus can we be saved. I don't care how good you are, and I've known a lot of folks that thought because they were a good person, that they were going to make it. And they've told me, well, I do all kinds of good deeds. And I have to be quite frank with you, some of them did some good deeds that put a lot of Christians to shame. But that's not what's going to get you there. It's not the good that we have done. It's what God has done in us through Jesus Christ that gets us to heaven. In fact, people need to read the entire chapter here where God talks about this. The only way. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of churches out there today, well, yeah, that was for back in the days of the apostles. They needed something back then to get them jump-started, so to speak. But I believe it's for today because I've experienced it and I know it's for today. And I look around and I see the power of God that is moving through the Holy Spirit. And I see some of the things that He has done. And I know that what the Word of God has to say is true and that it is for us today. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11 says, it's true that I'm immersing you in water so that you might turn from sin to God. But the one coming after me, and this is John speaking, by the way, coming after me is more powerful than I, and I'm not worthy even to carry his sandals. And he will immerse you in the Rock HaKodesh and in fire. Now, Rock HaKodesh is the Hebrew word which simply means holy breath. He is going to send His holy breath, His Holy Spirit, and He's going to baptize you in it. And when it happens, you will never be the same. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, within the Pentecostal churches, we get into disagreements and we get into arguments over semantics. Ever run into that? I just don't agree with the way you said that. And we really don't know ourselves how it come out, you know. And I've had people get on my case because I say Holy Spirit and not Holy Ghost sometimes. And vice versa. Well, when you read it in the New Testament and you read it in the Greek, if you actually translate those words the way they actually are supposed to be translated, it says holy breath. Hagios pneuma. Pneuma being breath or wind or spirit. And of course, in Rock HaKodesh, again, simply means holy breath, the breath of God. He baptizes us in His breath. We are immersed in Him. We are within Him in a way that we've never had before. Yes, the Spirit of God begins to dwell in us when we come to salvation, but that baptism of the Holy Spirit that He told His disciples about and said, you go and you wait and I will send the Holy Spirit to you, He is telling us that He's going to do something special for us. Just before His ascension, He told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, for John indeed baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost within these few days. And within a few short days, there in that upper room, it tells us that the Holy Ghost came down upon them and they were baptized and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. It also tells us they came down out of that upper room, changed people. They came down and Peter began to preach to the multitude. And you know, God plans everything at the right time and the right place, because all kinds of folks were there in Jerusalem that day because they were required to be there for the Feast of Pentecost. They were required to be in town, and they came down and Peter began to preach that message to them, what God had done, and they repented, and it tells us that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. The Holy Spirit began to move. Yeah, some of the folks thought they were drunk. in the beginning, and Peter said, hey, we're not drunk. It's only like 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, I know there's a few places you could go around town, especially down in Nashville. You might find a few drunks at 9 o'clock in the morning. But he said, we're not drunk. We're full of the Holy Spirit. As he began to preach, lives begin to be changed. And you go on and you read of a lot of the things that happened and that were done then through the work of the apostles as the Holy Spirit moved upon them. Such power and such authority. Because you see, Jesus told us before he went away, he said, I got to leave you for a while. But when I do, I'm going to send a comforter and he's going to be with you. And he is going to give you power. One of the sad things I think about the church today, we've lost a lot of our power. The American church, anyway. I still read about it and hear about it, and some of the churches in some of the third world countries where they still accept the Bible and the Word of God verbatim, and they don't pay attention to what man has to say, and they let the Holy Spirit begin to move in their life, and God begins to do signs and wonders in their midst. Because they believe. They believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do a work in their life. They have that faith that when God said it, they believed it, he's going to do it. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the beginning, it says, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. I also believe it says in Genesis chapter 1, 26, where it says, furthermore, God said, let us, that's plural, let us make God or make man in our image according to our likeness. And let's stop right there, according to our likeness. What are we? Well, first of all, you know, I could be a little humorous here and say, really, we're a dirt bag, because it says that we're created out of the dirt, out of the dust of the earth. And that's what's on the outside. We go back to the dust. We die, and if they don't embalm our body with all kinds of fluids to preserve it, within a year's time, we'll be dust again. Nothing left. But it also says we have a soul and we have a spirit. And those two parts of us are eternal. They don't die. And depending upon our relationship with God, where they go when this body dies. But they are going to live on for an eternity. Think about that. Part of you is going to live on for eternity. The body here, this physical body, is going to die no matter what. It's going to go back to the ground. Even if you're one of them that's caught up in the rapture, something's going to happen to this body, because it says it's going to be changed, because it cannot stand what we be in store for it in God's heaven. If you're going there, and it's not going to be consumed if you go to the other place either. Or you're going to wish it would be, but it's not going to. Goes on and says, let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the heaven, over the beasts, over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth and moveth upon the earth. I believe that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I know there are some folks today, and I don't want to criticize them. They believe it a little bit different. But I believe it that way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe that's what God's Word has to say. Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus' instructions. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said to do. He's talking Trinity there. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the three in one. Somebody says, well, how can you explain, if you got a God with three heads, if you got this or if you got that. I can't explain it all the way. All I know is that God said it, and I accept it, and I believe it. It's up to Him to work it out. I don't know how He's done it. There's a lot of things that God's done that I don't know how He's done, and I don't care how smart and how educated you are. There are a lot of things that you don't understand about God either. Because we, when it comes to the knowledge of God, we're kind of stupid, really. Kind of ignorant. We just don't know everything there is to know. But one of these days, He's going to give us more knowledge, and we're going to understand Him a lot better. But I'll tell you, He has a lot of things in store for us. Well, this is going to be a two-parter, and we'll continue this message next week. And Father, I ask, as we close the message today, that You would bless it to those that hear, bless it to those that have heard it here in this place. And Father, if there be any that listen to this message that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that You would speak to their hearts. And Father, help them to realize that they need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's just...
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's house, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.